We recently held another Strong Women focus group. We asked women, how are you holding up after 2020? Laura Connolly was our facilitator, and coming up next, we're going to hear what themes emerged.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a ghost.
You're listening to Strong Women on Member Supported KAXE KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. Joining me now is our Strong Women facilitator, Laura Connolly. We recently held a Strong Women focus group to talk about this year of pandemic. Laura, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So many things to talk about, but I want to begin with just this little snippet.
Through the whole elections cycle that we went through and all the trauma that Minnesota had, it was trying to meet people where they were.
Inserting a new dimension of how to be together, right? You have to think about how to be together in a different way.
I think for me, it was the really divided political climate.
Increased workload and then the stress of politics throughout the summer and fall. And
I think being a witness to lack of compassion has been a daily struggle.
Just trying to build a new organization during COVID.
I felt like I just got to the point pre-COVID where I could kind of separate my work life and my home life.
I basically took over everything related to our household, everything related to our children, homeschooling, no time for myself and no partner. Because even when he was home, he was just not mentally able to be present.
I think about the diversity in the community on COVID itself and just a lot of judgment and people just not supporting people during this. And that's really challenging.
Your thoughts on what you just heard there, Laura?
I feel like it's a good, just like a quick snippet of where women's minds are. So what I heard was women are really trying to understand, like all the things that we dealt with in 2020, from the political divide, COVID, they ended up with more responsibility than they had before. I just think that it is all symbolic of how much women are trying to hold and what they're dealing with.
Yeah, there was a lot of change. Did you feel like you heard from women that they were able to meet that change that happened last year?
Yeah, so that to me was one of the most remarkable aspects of the process. So just so everybody knows, we had 31, and we're on Zoom. And we just went around initially and had everybody, you know, say what was the most challenging part of 2020 for them based on everything that had happened. And we're talking about COVID, murder of George Floyd, civil unrest. We had a change in leadership at a national level. I mean, all these different things happening. And one of the biggest things was it was so obvious that women just rose to the challenge. So in my mind, it kind of like if I made a visual of that night, the women on the screen are like the thread, right? They're like the glue. They're the connectors in our community because they were all talking about all the different ways that they continued to connect each other with other people through their work. They just rallied. I thought it was remarkable. What did you think?
Well, I was going to say, we asked them the question, how are you holding up, was kind of the title of our conversation. And it seemed like people wanted to talk. Women wanted to talk to each other. I learned so much. There were things that women said that I didn't even realize were kind of weighing on me over this last year because there hasn't been time to think. So it was like one of the few times where you kind of thought, how has this year gone? How did I make it through this? But when it comes to that question, how do you think they are holding up?
Well, I mean, I think they are remarkable. I also think it's a lot. I think that we probably won't even fully understand the impact that it has had on all of us for a long time. And I also think that women have a tendency to, they don't seek affirmation or accolades, or they aren't looking for like a pat on the back when they're doing all this extra stuff. They just typically do it, you know, kind of put your head down, get done what needs to get done, and just make sure that everybody's doing okay. And you'll have time for yourself when you eventually have time for yourself. And you and I both know that when you live that way for too long, it's problematic. Like, you're not able to be your best self. You're not able to show up in the world in the way that you would if you weren't also trying to carry all that other stuff. And I use the word stuff a lot because that's what it kind of is like, right? Like, they have all this different activities, different ways in which they're trying to keep relationships. So a lot of women talked about this thing where they really wanted to be bridge builders across the political divide. I mean, that's a pretty, in my experience, gendered thing to say.
And that it was really hard to do it because everyone could hide behind social media or not seeing someone and getting your viewpoint out there. And they said that was the hardest part because you couldn't have, they didn't feel like there were real conversations to be had. It sounded to me, I don't know if anybody said this, but you know, it had fractured relationships for them, how divisive the politics were.
Yeah, within families.
Yeah, which is, yeah. I mean, that's not a new concept, but I guess I hadn't really thought about the weight of that. I think that was one of the big things, whether it was isolation or we just heard in that clip about carrying the weight of a lack of empathy.
Yeah.
And that
lack
not
of
every
compassion. Yeah.
Yeah. And that not everybody viewed the pandemic the same way. And that was problematic. Some people seem to disregard the health of community. And how do you keep going in that? And not be angry all the time.
Well, and I think that also is part of what made it heavier to hold was the fact that, so the pandemic became a political issue. When, if we could have stayed pulled back and just saw it for what it was, it really didn't need to become that. It needed to become what it was, a pandemic where a lot of our old people were dying because of it. And so we all needed to do our part to stop that from happening. And so women, one of the themes that came out of what women were saying was that women typically always look to take care of the most vulnerable among us first. That's where our thinking goes. And so when you're working in a pandemic where it suddenly becomes a political hotbed and it's no longer about the common good, you're trying to figure out, well, how do we deal with that, right? And it came out and like people are getting mad.
Yeah.
People get mad at other people for not wearing masks, for not doing their part, for not gathering. I mean, everybody wanted to get together for the holidays.
Right.
But we couldn't.
Let's talk about this idea of value. Did the women we listened to, did they value what they had stepped up to do during this pandemic? And what about the rest of their worlds or the world in general about women's roles to kind of be that connector and take care of the most vulnerable?
I don't think that women in general, and in part because our society doesn't talk about the value that women bring. What's the value of women? How do you measure that? How do you make sense of, you know, social value, economic value, based on all the ways that women are doing what they're doing, because women aren't typically promoting to the greater society, oh, we're doing all this stuff. So I don't think that women typically walk around thinking about how much value what they do on a daily basis brings to society. One thing I got kind of emotional at one point, and I think it was when I was listening to actually your breakout session. We broke out in smaller groups because there were so many people on Zoom. And one of the women was talking about how in her, at her church, whenever things got really stressful, there was always a strong woman who would stand up and just basically get everybody's heads on straight about how we're going to go forward. And I think that that's one of those like silent but powerful forces of what women do in times of crisis. Like we could look at this crisis of 2020 and the way that women responded to all of it as a roadmap for how to deal with a crisis. Who sewed masks for 6 hours a day?
Yeah.
Who organized all the food, the masks, the, yeah, we had women talking about at the holidays, they made individual meals for all their kids, families, and dropped them off. I mean, you know, that has a great value to society. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of women talking about how they were really intentional about connecting with other people because everybody was apart and isolated. That's like almost in my mind, kind of reminded me of like, oh, so it's like all these mental health workers are just out there. They're not actually like, their title is not a mental health worker, but that's what they're doing.
Right.
You know, they're checking in with all the people that they know need to be checked in with. There's a great value to that.
We're talking about the Strong Women Focus Group that we held at the end of February. We'll be holding another one. The next one is scheduled for April 7th from 7 to 8:30. We have space for 25 women to join us. We'll be telling you more about that in the days to come on KEXE, KBXE. What do you think it means? Because you and I have been on Zoom groups of our friends together, and that's a great thing to stay connected. But what do you think it means to be in a group with women you don't know and talk the way that we did?
It's invaluable is what it is. And you know that because you have people, they're showing, you know, one woman was in her van so she could have privacy from the kids and be on the call. It's 7 o'clock at night and all these women show up for this. They clearly wanted to hear what other women are thinking and to just be able to understand all that. I just think it's another thing that says we're here, we're going to show up, we're going to figure this out, we're going to listen, and we're going to pivot accordingly. It's pretty remarkable. It's also really emotional.
Yeah.
Because there's like this profound resiliency in what everybody's saying. And at the same time, you can feel the weight of it. Don't you think? Like you could just, it's freeing though. Like it almost kind of alleviates some of the weight to just be able to talk openly and safely about what this has been like.
And I think it was interesting because there are some people that had gone through some real struggles. And then there are other women at different points in their life where they maybe didn't have to worry about a job or homeschooling, but it hasn't been easy for them either. But to see different perspectives, because I think that's one of the things that you forget, you get stuck. We're more isolated. So you're kind of stuck in your own life right now. And to hear other women talking about that. And it was a hard conversations. I was profoundly moved by what happened. And it took me a number of days to kind of process that. Like I kind of felt, it made me realize like what we'd all been carrying. It made me kind of question how busy I make myself because I feel like this is such an important time that I need to do everything that I can possibly do to, you know, in my job, that I'm not always good at reminding myself I don't have limitless capacity to do every single idea that pops into my head. It made me go through those things after we talked.
Yeah, me too. I remember I walked the next day in the woods and I just started to cry thinking about all of it because it was a lot. It's very moving. And I don't think when you're in it, right? So you're in these focus groups and we're all like you and I are we're listening. But I would be very fascinated to know what the impact was on all the other women too. And we heard some impact right away, right? Like we had one woman at the end say, I wasn't going to get on here. I wasn't going to do this. And I am so glad I did.
What then? Because you talked about that it's hard to understand the value of women, the value of women's roles, you know, let's just say specific to this pandemic. You can put a value on that some women are having to quit their jobs, that their economic independence is being jeopardized by the choices they had to make. That's one way where they judge men and women, you know, what, how much money women are making to the men's dollar and all that kind of thing. I think for me, that's a big fear of what's next after this pandemic for women in general. What are your thoughts about that, about how this is going to affect women?
Well, I think there's that, most certainly the economics of it. I mean, and we did talk a little bit about that in the, you know, the follow-up meeting we had, when you had like young women who are in college, stepping out of college to go work on the frontline jobs, you know, what does that mean for them long-term? So there's great value in strong emotional support systems in community and being asked to do even more than you normally do in that way. There's a cost to that, right? So if you think about things in terms of, you know, value and cost, what was the cost to our society that women had to do a lot more? They had to become teachers. They had to, you know, just do all these extra things. I don't think we will ever fully understand it unless we continue to name it. Like you and I had talked earlier, Heidi, about how women don't just typically think about their lives as my individual contribution to the world is of great value, even though it is astronomically valuable.
I agree. And I feel like if we can listen, we've got more of these groups coming up, continue to listen to women in northern Minnesota, where this isn't being talked about all that much, about the role that women took on during this time. You sometimes are hearing about it on a national level. What I like about this, this was so solid, this conversation. It was not like how to find time for yourself and having a spa day. Not that those things aren't great, but I mean, there was such weight to everything that was said.
Yeah, very meaningful. And it was a lot about the ways that we're caring for each other. Well, just in how we're staying connected the best we can. And even still trying to work on, you know, closing political gap. I mean, it was remarkable.
So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. So someone listening to us right now couldn't join us or was maybe afraid to come to the focus group. What would you say to them about those women in northern Minnesota and this year that they've had? What would you want to remind them?
That it has been a year like nothing we've ever seen in our life. And that it's one thing to have a pandemic. It's another thing to have, like, feeling these political divides anytime you left the house, even go to the grocery store, turn on the news. We had the George Floyd murder and all the racial inequities that just, like, became so transparent. Like, hello, we need to deal with this as a people. Any one of those things by itself is a lot. And the fact that all of that happened and we all still continued to show up, do our jobs, however we needed to, on Zoom, whatever, we need to realize that it's okay for us to say, I don't have any more space or capacity to do more than I've done, and that I've done the best I could with what I had. I mean, me personally, that's a big thing I've had, you know, to work through, is I've always, like, am I doing enough? Am I being a good enough friend? Am I doing enough for the parents, right? Mm-hmm. So I just would say that, like, you're doing more than enough. And if you're nervous about showing up for one of these focus groups, I think you'd love it because it's very safe.
In this last year, I heard someone saying to give yourself grace.
Yeah.
You know, think about that every day, because at some point you're maybe beating yourself up. You didn't quite get to everything that you were hoping for that day. You know, there was a change in plans or you just couldn't do it. It's okay.
It's absolutely okay. And we learned, you know, early on in these focus groups that they're like, we have a lot of different voices in our head trying to tell us who we are, and we get to decide which ones we're listening to. So the ones that are saying over and over, you know, you should be doing more, or you shouldn't get any credit, or you shouldn't, why do you even need to say that you're doing more work? We don't need to listen to that. And we can just know that we are enough and doing a lot.
It's about time to keep this conversation going and ask women to join us again. The date again for the next focus group is April 7th, and we'll meet from about 7 to 8:30, and it is confidential, and it is, you won't regret it being a part of it. So if you've been to other ones, you can certainly come, but new people, we would love to have you there as well.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
It's Laura Connolly. She's our Strong Women facilitator. Strong Women is made possible in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.
Thank you, Heidi.